Dear Heavenly Father, we come to worship today and to remember your coming. We thank you that though you were the King of glory, you came and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld your glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank you for the humility of your birth and the great humility of your life. You were born and placed in a manger, picturing your humility, and that humility you continued throughout your life as a servant to men and as a servant of your Father, even to the point of death, the death on a cross. We join with the angels and we join with the wise men today who celebrated your birth and came and worshipped at the feet of the Lord Jesus, the wise men bowing down and are humbling themselves before a baby who was and is King. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus, that though you were rich in heaven, having the whole universe at your disposal, yet for our sakes you became poor and indeed, Lord Jesus, that we might become rich in you. We thank you for that. And we praise you, dear Lord Jesus, that though you had nothing here on earth, no home, no beast of burden to own for transport, nothing except the clothes you wore. You had, though the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, you had nowhere to lay your head, and you came and you dwelt amongst us. We thank you that you had the words of life. Though you were poor in material things, you were absolutely rich in spiritual things, which is our heart too. And people wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of your mouth, true words, words of life. And we thank you that we can study your words and draw close to you and love you with all of our hearts. We thank you that you went all the way to the cross, and therefore today we open our hearts to you. We open our hearts wide that you may come and dwell in us in a very real way, that your life might flow through ours to others. O Lord, might we be channels for your love, the love of God and the word of God. And may our lives touch others. Even today, perhaps with unsaved family, some of us, we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would use us to your glory. We pray for any here today that need to draw close, who don't have a personal relationship with Christ. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that they might see his beauties, see his glories, and be attracted to him, seeing their own sinfulness, and turn and embrace the Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that we who are here might experience your peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, but we long for that peace too in our daily lives, in the turmoil and the world in which we live. Now, Father, we would just turn our hearts to those who are hurting today. Some are lonely, some are sick, some are in war, some are devastated through recent tragedies. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that any that is hurting today would look up, for there is a God in heaven who loves them, and they would see that despite the wickedness of men and the savageness of the enemy, God yet is still at work and bringing all things to their appointed end. So, Lord, bless us this day, bless our meditation, bless us as we move into the scripture and into the little devotional thoughts for today. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible this morning, you might like to turn to, have your finger in two places. First of all, Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 1. Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible with you, that's okay. We'll be reading out the words to you, and you can just listen as we read. So we're going to read from Matthew chapter 2, and then we're going to go straight into the message. We've prayed, we've committed the day to the Lord. Welcome here today for those that have come in since we welcomed at the beginning. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined for them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, having been divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. If you'd flip over to Luke chapter 1, and we'll begin our meditation. I'm wondering how you are going to spend Christmas Day. I had a chance to ask a few people as they arrived. I know that you want to remember the Lord's birth, the Messiah's birth, because you're here this morning. But it would be interesting to go around and hear how different families spend Christmas Day. I'm sure there would be some things in common. There would certainly be food, I would think, and presents. And right there are two dangers of the day. Overindulgence in food and extravagance in presents. If either of those are a temptation for us today, it's good to come and focus on the Lord Jesus and set our hearts right. We need to reflect on the coming of the Lord Jesus, and we need to reflect in a fresh way and a deeper way that kind of dislocates us from the way that the world does Christmas. So that it can be fresh, I've chosen to look at a less known reflection of the coming of Christ. You remember that Mary and Elizabeth were relatives. Do you remember that? Old King James said cousins. They were relatives. And therefore, the son of Elizabeth, John the Baptist, and the son of Mary, Jesus, were also relatives. Further, John and Jesus were of the same age, just 6 months apart, because we know that Mary became pregnant about the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Further, you probably remember that the name of John the Baptist was Zacharias. And when the angel told Zacharias that his aged wife Elizabeth would bear a son, John the Baptist, he doubted. We read in Luke chapter 1 and verse 18, and Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring these glad tidings. But behold, you shall be mute. And that was the sign to him. He was mute until the birth of his son. In fact, 8 days after John's birth, the day of the circumcision of John the Baptist, Zacharias' tongue was loosed. And if you would flip over to verse 64, Luke chapter 1 and verse 64. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he spoke praising God. But it says this in verse 67. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. So the words that follow are both a praise, a song to God, and they are also a prophecy. What Zacharias said was in regard to not so much his own son, John the Baptist, but in regard to the relative of John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus. And Zechariah had 3 points of praise in his song of praise. The first point of praise was God had redeemed his people. Verse 68. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and raised up a horn, that's a strength, a power of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. So that's definitely referring to the Lord Jesus, who was of the house of David, and not John the Baptist, who was of the priestly line through his father. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began. So the first point of praise is that God has redeemed his people. The second point of praise, and remember this is also a prophecy speaking of the future, the second point of praise was God has freed his people. Verse 71. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. God was going to free his people from tyranny, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. So the Zechariah's father of John the Baptist was praising God that the people of God would be freed to live in all holiness and righteousness, that they would be redeemed and freed. And then in parenthesis, in verse 76, maybe Zacharias is holding John the Baptist in his arms. And in parenthesis, he says in verse 76, "And you, child, shall be called prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins." And as soon as Zacharias mentions salvation and the forgiveness of sins, he then turns back to prophesying about the Lord Jesus. And so this is the third point of his praise, and the one that we're going to focus in on today. The third point of praise is light has dawned. Light has dawned, verse 78. So we have salvation through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Now for our meditation today, I just want us to focus in on one word, unusual word, that word dayspring. I want you to notice, it's there in verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God, which the dayspring from on high has visited us. I want you to notice that it's a capital D there, which indicates that it's a reference to the Messiah. The Greek word there is anatoli, which is used 10 times in our New Testament. And every other time it is translated east. But here it is translated dayspring. Anatoly is a reference to the east. Now, which way is east here? That's north, that's south. Okay, over that way. I'm getting arms everywhere. Okay, it's east. That is where the sun rises. That is the dayspring. And this is the only time that the word dayspring is used in our Bibles. Let's read those verses again using the word dawn, because this word anatoly refers to east, dawn, dayspring. Verse 78, through talking about salvation through the tender mercy of our God, which the dawn from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Well, understanding that as dawn, as sunrise, helps us a little bit, doesn't it? The concept is drawn from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Many scriptures, including this one, Isaiah 9 and verse 2. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." So this light has risen and shined. Jesus Christ, you know very well, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and therefore his birth is like the dawn. The light has risen. It is the dawn, the dayspring. I can think of five ways in which Jesus' birth is like the dawn or dayspring. The first way in which Jesus' birth is like the dawn is that both Jesus and the dawn are life-giving. Life-giving. "By God's mercy," says verse 78, "the one from heaven," the dawn, the dayspring, "the one from heaven has visited us." He is the dawn of a new day. The dawn of a new day. In what way? Verse 79 says, "to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death." Notice darkness and death. Darkness is associated with death, and light is associated with life. Jesus coming as a babe is life-giving. The new light of dawn in his birth means life to us. How? Well, Zechariah explained that in the first part of his prophecy. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has come to redeem us. He's come to free us from the bondage of sin so that we might live in all righteousness, that we might have eternal life, and that with the dawn of his life came new life for us. The day has dawned when Christ come. Did you know that all life depends on light? I think you probably did. You know that plants depend on the sun for photosynthesis, and all of life depends on plants. At dawn, the light comes and thus brings life to the whole of the earth. Similarly, when Christ came, it meant life coming to all the world. John says in John 1 and verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, because light and life are associated. If at all light has dawned in your heart, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior and you have life. 1 John says it most clearly in chapter 5 and verse 12. He who has the Son has life. He who is not the Son of God does not have life. Very clear, very straightforward. Let's thank God today that Jesus Christ came, the light of the world, that we might have life. John Wesley writes, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, and light and life to all he brings. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Praise God for that. Life is in Christ. Life is not in the abundance of the things we possess. And the way we conduct the day will show whether we think life is in Jesus Christ or in the abundance of the things we possess. The second way in which Jesus Christ's birth is like the dawn is both are revealing. Light reveals. Jesus Christ reveals. The light reveals and the light guides. And so does Christ, since Jesus Christ is the truth. Verse 79, the second part says, to guide our feet into the way of peace. To guide our feet. Truth guides into the light. We know that Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, truth states what is. Truth reveals reality. When it's stated, truth reveals reality and so does Christ. Now sometimes when I get up in the middle of the night, I walk into a wall or I walk into a door. But I don't have that problem when the dawn comes. Well, not usually. Do you? Well, why? Because light shows me where there is a door and where there is a doorway, and it guides me to miss the door. Verse 79 says, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. The way of peace. Jesus Christ revealed the way of peace. Just as the dawn reveals the reality, whether there's a door or a doorway. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the way of peace. He reveals the way of peace. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God that our Lord Jesus shows us right from wrong. Because light reveals. Praise God that we have purpose and direction in our lives because light guides. Because our precious Lord Jesus is like the light, he shows us what is. In Christ we have discernment, and in Christ we have direction for our lives. Let's sing Angels from the Realms of Glory, hymn 99, that Jesus Christ is both, that Jesus Christ is like the dawn, is that they both purify. Light purifies. Christ purifies. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2 says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. And that's a surprise. You think the word there would be S-O-N, but it's S-U-N. Jesus called the Son of Righteousness because light purifies. Why is the Messiah referred to as the Son of Righteousness? Well, just as the sun kills germs, Jesus Christ dispels all evil and all error to make the believer righteous. He is the sun or the light of righteousness. Did you know ultraviolet light within sunlight is so effective in killing germs? It's used to purify air and food and water. It will kill bacteria, viruses and molds. Vegetating bacteria can only live 2 to 10 minutes in the sunlight, they've studied. So when the sun of righteousness dawns in any heart, then sin will be exposed and sin will be opposed. Jesus Christ has a purifying effect in any Christian's life. As the sun purifies our world wherever it reaches, so Christ purifies our heart. He purifies from error and he purifies from sin, including extravagance and overindulgence, producing righteousness. There is one carol that refers to Christ as the Son of Righteousness. I wonder if you can think which one that is, just as Malachi does. So let's sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, hymn 93, Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings. I hope you're holding the Lord Jesus Christ with glory in your heart. The fourth way that Jesus' birth is like the dawn is that both give hope of a new start. Dawn brings the hope of a new day and a new start. Jesus Christ brings the hope of a new start and a new life. Associated with dawn are concepts like sunrise and the morning star. All these different concepts referring to the beginning of the light, new day, new start, new hope, all signify the same thing. Verse 78 in our text says, Therefore, remembering salvation through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Now, Jesus, as well as being called the day spring, is also referred to as the bright and morning star, but it's the same concept. And so now we go to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16, where Jesus says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. It was new hope when Jesus came to earth the first time. Dawn is the beginning of a new day. It was a new day of grace for us. And there's going to be much more hope the second time he comes, because it will be a new day where righteousness dwells and where we're the Savior. So it is new hope every time the morning star appears. The morning star, by the way, is the planet Venus. So it's not a star at all, but it is the brightest object in the sky after the sun and the moon. Every 584 days, the morning star appears as the bright and morning star appearing before dawn. Thus, the morning star indicates dawn, and dawn indicates a new day. Morning star and day spring are good names for our Lord because they indicate a new day, a new start, and new hope. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 says, Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wherever you've come from, there is all hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a new start. And 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us or born us again to a living hope. Our hope is not, I hope so. Our hope is a living hope through the resurrection, the living Savior, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We have absolute hope. We have living hope as Christians, indicated by the dawn of a new day. Hear the hope in Joseph Moore's carol, Silent Night. For with Jesus came the dawn of redeeming grace. There will be another dawn when he comes again. But the dawn when he came the first time was the dawn of redeeming grace. Verse 3 says, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Let's sing Silent Night, Holy Night. Sung over those words, dawn of redeeming grace before and never quite clicked. Here's the day spring. New hope, new start, life, purity. The final way for us to consider that the birth of Jesus Christ was like the dawn is both are attractive, warming the heart. There is a joy in the Lord Jesus. There's a warmth in the dawn. Everyone loves a sunrise. It wows us and puts a smile on our face. That is if we're up early enough to see the sunrise. Yes, and the world loves the story of the baby. The story of Christ's birth is a wonderful story that gladdens our heart. Isaiah chapter 60 says, Arise, shine, for your light has come. It's the dawn. It's the day spring. The light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will shine upon you. The Gentiles, speaking of his second coming, shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. So there is a dawn when Jesus came the first time, and there is a second dawn of a new day when he comes the second time. What was true as his first coming is even more true of his second coming. There is a glory, there is a joy in the coming of the Lord Jesus, just as there's warmth in the dawn. When a man or woman, boy or girl trusts Christ as Savior, there comes a joy into their heart, a joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is true, though we have not seen that little baby in the manger with our own eyes. Peter writes in 1 Peter, Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Jesus Christ came to give life and to give it more abundantly. May I ask you this morning, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If not, you need that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, for every one of us is under the just condemnation and the just wrath of God. And so we need to come to Christ. We need to put our trust in his death in our place. And when we do, God will change his verdict toward us. Instead of declaring us guilty, he will declare us righteous in Christ. We'll be counted as if we have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. He acquits us. 800 years ago, someone wrote, O come thou day spring, come and cheer, our spirits by thy advent here. O drive away the shades of night and pierce the clouds and bring us light. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart, into your life, and turn the night into light. Come, all you faithful. Come, let us adore him. We sing hymn 100. That's the end of our meditation this morning, but let me say, if those words at the end struck your heart, you do need to trust Christ as your Savior. I'm very glad to help you. There's some little booklets on the back table, How to Know God. I'm happy to sit down with you and chat with you and help you to know Christ, that you may have that verdict, not guilty. He came that we might have life. He came to purify, came to serve and love. Praise God for a wonderful Savior. I'd like to close in prayer. I realize we're family here this morning. Are there any prayer points as we go to our different points of celebration today? Is there anything that you'd like me to be praying for? Maybe some relatives, whatever. Is there anything you'd like me to pray for as we close? David? Is there Katie? Rodri? Yes. We'll be glad to pray with you, and we'd be glad to help too. David? When there's a lot in the house, it's often busy to talk individually, isn't it? But we'll pray that you have those special opportunities. Someone else? Max? Amen. Praise God. Lovely. Someone else? Yeah, Kurt. Yep, I got that. Say that three times fast. Okay, lost loved ones. Yes. Yes, sometimes Christmas is a hard time, isn't it? Because people remember someone that's normally been there previous Christmases. And yeah, we're pleased to pray. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here today. And yet we realize that might be someone here who does need to know the Savior. We pray that you would draw them, help them to trust with all their heart the one who is worthy of all trust. Thank you that you care about us. And we celebrate today. We rejoice. It is a special day to enjoy company, food and presents. And help us to keep it simple. To love you in our hearts with each blessing that comes our way, to be grateful. We do want to pray with Katie Rose for Rodri, and we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would do great work in Rodri's life. Draw him to yourself, Lord. And he has questions. I pray that you would answer those questions for him and help us to be your mouthpiece. We do want to pray for relatives in general. David and his family is representative of many of us here. We're going to be amongst unsaved folk. And so we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'd help us to say a word in season. Help us to know the right time. Help us to know the right place. Help us to speak with the grace and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to speak with a loving boldness like the early disciples and the apostles. We'd like to pray with Max and Helen for Allison, Alan and Ethan. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would touch each of these lives, that they might see the desire and the heart of Mum and Dad. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would draw to yourself, Lord. Oh, Lord, there's a longing here, and we join with that longing, and we pray that you do a special work. We bless you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, some have lost those that they love, maybe this year, maybe previous years. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, you would comfort the brokenhearted, that you would heal them, that you would help any that are grieving because of this time, that you, Lord, would come alongside and comfort. Thank you that because you are the day spring, there is new hope in you, new starts, and we bless you for that. Thank you because, like the dawn, there is a warmth and a joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is abundant life. We have something to offer those without hope and those that are yet in the darkness and in death. Lord, we would have them have life. Father, we joy in coming together. We joy in a wonderful Savior. May all our hearts rejoice in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.